Well, before we read our passage this morning, let's pray, shall we? Ask the Lord's help. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, that you have committed to print, Lord, your thoughts, your ways, and your dealings with men and women in this world. I pray, Lord, you'll bless us as we share together from your word again this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us into the truth. The truth about Jesus, the truth about you, Lord, that sets us free. Grant us your blessing and help us, we pray. For we ask it, Father, in the name of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's already loaded, hopefully, yes. Genesis 17, 1-27, the covenant of circumcision. It's not something we read about very often, is it? But we'll have a look. There's some good stuff in here, so let's see. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Lord Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham, your name will be Abraham. For I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born into your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah, and I will bless her and will surely give you her son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, Will a son be born to a man in 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, If only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful, and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael, and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that same day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born into his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. Well, there's the covenant he described it as. Okay, so let's have a look at our first picture, shall we? When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. 99 years old. I've written there, nicely settled. Yes. Things have been quiet. 13 years since Ishmael was born, all very nice and quiet, things are going hunky-dorily, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And what does God go and do? Turns up and makes a promise. Well, he's made a promise already, but he says it's time to start moving in. You know, dear friends, there's a challenge to me. I like it nice and steady. Do you like it nice and steady?
Oh, yeah.
All under control. And then God turns up and says, I've got bigger things for you than you thought. And that's the thing, you see. God's got bigger plans for us than we often give him credit for. And maybe he wants to shake some of us up this morning, does he? Mm. Well, you've got to be open to that, dear friends. God might just turn up and make things a little different for you. And it's going to be good. Yeah, it's going to be good, because God's involved. But I just think of Abraham. You don't want to be starting a family at 99, do you? Well, maybe. Maybe that's how God does things, you know. Right, so next then, please. Change ahead. The Lord appeared to him and said, I'm God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Then I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. That's a big promise. And the interesting thing about it is, God introduces it by calling himself God Almighty. El Shaddai is the name that's there, right? He's introducing himself as God Almighty. You know why?
Because
he is. But God's got lots of names that he calls himself by, you know. Why does he particularly choose God Almighty to talk to Abraham at this point in time? Because he's going to have to be God Almighty that can do it.
Yeah.
Right? That's why God talks about himself as the one who can do anything. God Almighty means he can do it. Right, so that's a good start. Yes? Then, I'm able to do it. And then he says, walk before me and be blameless. Right? To walk before me is what God says. Now there's an interesting little study. If you want to do this sometime, look at the phrase to walk in the Old Testament. God says to walk. And he uses different prepositions. To walk after, to walk with, to walk before. Yeah? And they all carry different meanings. To walk after means to follow, like a disciple, like a sheep. Yeah, that's to walk after him. And to walk with, that's what Enoch did. That's fellowship, to walk with God. Yes? But what about walk before? What does that convey to you?
Faith,
leadership. What it conveys to me is a child. A child walks in front of his father because he's secure and happy and delighted. That's my understanding of it. You may read other things into it as well. But God said to Abraham, we're going to start fun time now. Yeah? It's going to be good. Yeah? So you walk before me, yeah? And I'll be with you, I'll encourage you, and be blameless. Blameless. Does that mean it's got to be perfect?
No.
Yeah? If he had to be perfect, he wouldn't be able to do it. But to be blameless means you're walking in integrity before God. And what God calls for Abraham, he's calling for you and me too. Right? To trust him, to delight in him, and to live to please him. So Abraham, that's what I want you to be. And then he says, then I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Wow. So he's going to confirm the covenant. He's already made the covenant with Abraham. He's told him that already about being the father of nations and so on. So God's come along and says, now is the time. This is it. I'm confirming it. It's going to happen. Right? And so God's bringing his gifts along. I'll bless you and increase your numbers. So God's able to do it. He calls us to trust and obey him. And he makes big promises about the gifts he'll give, which is good. Next, please. Abraham fell face down. Wow. There he is. Fell face down in front of the Lord. Why is he doing that? We don't do that very much, do we?
Yeah.
Maybe if we had an experience of the Lord like Abraham did, you'd be on the floor too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's worshipping. That's what he's doing. And he believes God. You know, he's had, you know, those 13 years of sitting nicely and being quiet, for 13 years to think about where God had led him, what God had done for him. God's been good, you know. Can you look back over your quiet times and think,
yeah,
you know, Lord, I don't deserve this, but you've been really, really good to me. Well, I suspect that's what he was thinking. And if God's come to bless him, he falls down with thankfulness and worship. He fell face down. Right. He may be looking at the earth, but his heart's looking at the Lord. Yeah. Right, next one, please. And God says to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you the father, a father of many nations. And God's emphasizing, you know, the El Shaddai, Lord Almighty bit to start with, when he says the covenant is my covenant between me and you. You know who's in at the top of it? It's God. My covenant with you. I'm doing all this stuff, Abraham, right? And he says, I'm going to change your name. Right? You're going to be called Abraham. So Abraham means big father. Right? Abraham means father of many people. Right? Just a change of a few syllables and change of the name completely, yeah? So big daddy is going to be really, really big daddy now, yeah? God's going to make him the father of many people. That's a promise. Right? So, what's going to happen next week? I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Now that's a pretty long range forecast. You need a telescope to see that one. Yeah? But here's a little layout of Abraham's descendants. He didn't know any of this at the time. Just God's making a promise. But as you can see, God keeps his promises. That's a lot of descendants. And of course, kings will come from him. We've got this line from Jacob, his grandson, through Leah, through Judah, David, King David, the descent of kings, and then finally King Jesus, the ultimate king. All through that little promise, eh? I'll make you very fruitful, I'll make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Well, nations, in one sense, Abraham only gave rise to two nations, didn't he? He gave rise to the Arabs, and he gave rise to the Jews. Yeah, but why does he say nations then?
Well, he's taking the scripture to circumcise servants and everybody.
Well, they were part of it. The people came into the nation. They became Jews. That's what they became. Right? No, let me offer you this. If you read in Romans, Paul says, Abraham is the father of us all. Because if we follow his faith, we're grafted in as well. We become part of that. So out of the promise, in early on in chapter 12, I believe it is, where God says, you know, I'll bless you and you will be a blessing to the world. Right? So that faith that Abraham exemplifies, if we begin to walk in that same faith, we become part of the nations that Abraham was going to be the father of. Yeah. So, next one, please. Right. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. To be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Genesis 17:7. An everlasting covenant. You know how long everlasting is?
Everlasting.
Mm. When God says it, he keeps it. That's good, isn't it? But one of the interesting things, I don't know if you notice in that, but there's a verse that turns up in the Bible all the way through. I describe it as the golden thread. You've probably heard me say this before. What's the verse? It's the golden thread. It's the covenant of grace. Is the technical term, but it doesn't say that. What's the golden thread? The verse that runs through the entire Bible, Genesis through to Revelation, is I will be their God and they shall be my people. Yeah? That's what's in there. See? I'll be your God and the God of your descendants after you. That's a promise and a half. And I'm enjoying that promise because God's made me one of his, like he's made you one of his if you trust in Jesus. Yeah? So, it's an eternal promise. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Next one, please. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. So, he's promising to Abraham the land, what we call Israel today. Called it Canaan in those days. And there's a little picture of it, and there's a map of it. Right? And God is saying to Abraham, I'm giving you this land, even though you're a foreigner, an alien there at the present time. Right? So Abraham didn't actually possess the land in many senses, really. And yet God's given it to him as a promise. Yes, and it's an everlasting promise. Yes, so, Israel has the land, don't they?
Yes.
Well, not all some of it.
Not all.
And it's highly contested. Why is that? Why is it people fall out with that? And it doesn't just happen with the land. Yeah, and it's simply this. People don't like God being in charge of making his choices. Mm-hmm. When God chooses, somebody's going to get upset about it. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Rather than submit to it and enjoy it and be blessed by it, they fall out with God because God's made a choice. Right? He chose you, dear friends. Are you going to fall out with him about that? I hope not. Anyway, there we are. It's the promised land, but it's not Abraham's rest. And God's revealing himself of what he's doing. The plan is to have a people, to give them a home, and ultimately to have a people worldwide, and a home not on earth, to start with anyway, but a home with him in glory, and ultimately a new heaven and a new earth. So it's all part of the big plan, you know. God's in charge. Amen to that. Next slide, please. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. Right, so God makes his claims. What's your responsibility? To trust him. And to do it. Yeah? It's no good saying, well, wonderful, great promises. I'll just carry on as I am and see what happens. No, no, no. You have to trust him. You have to walk with him. That's what it is, about walking with him. And what's that picture of? Is there anybody, any guesses? I think it's from the footsteps one, isn't it? Where Jesus carries you when it's getting tough, yeah? But the Lord says, he'll carry you, yes, of course he will, but he wants you to be walking in the same direction. Yeah, right, okay, so that's what it's about. Trust and obey. Second, please. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. So, Abraham's going to have an operation. Yes? What's that little sign? Do you know?
Copyright.
Copyright. Why did they put that up? Why did they put copyright up as a sign of circumcision?
Because it's a sign
that they've got. That's it. Copyright is a sign of ownership. Yeah. Yeah? This is mine. Right? And as they committed themselves to God, God's saying is, you are mine. Right? So that's what it was about, the sign of the covenant. Why circumcision? It's a painful operation for an adult, isn't it? For a child, I imagine.
Oh, 35. Yeah.
Sorry?
I was 35.
Painful. Painful, yeah? Well, why? Well, it was humbling, I guess. Yeah? It was humbling for Abraham. Right? But also, it's symbolic. Old life gone, starting a new generation, in a sense. Yeah? That's the idea with the new people. But I think also there may be something. Do you know what Proverbs 3:5-6 says? You must learn it first. Yes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Yes. In other words, you won't know what God's doing. You just have to trust him. Yeah. And sometimes God calls us to do things that seem foolish, that other people might think we've completely lost the plot. Yeah, and we simply got to be obedient to him. And when we're obedient to him, right, he'll bless us. He'll make our path straight. And it'll work out. But you don't know how it's going to work out till you get there.
I think another thing, I think it's probably for cleanliness as well.
Possibly. Although, no, human beings have reproduced for generations. I think that, it may be, but I think it's a change of status in the way. And I put women are included in the blessing. We'll see Sarah later. That does not mean to say I'm promoting female genital mutilation, because that's what some foolish people think it means. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, right. The women are included under Abraham. Abraham is circumcised, but Sarah inherits the blessing as well, as we'll see in a moment. Yeah, next please. Yeah. Now then, I've included this as an interesting picture for you. Right? For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised. Right? There's a graph of your blood when you're a baby. Right? Right? And the blood levels of vitamin K increase over the days. And vitamin K is responsible, amongst many things, vitamin K, yes, produces prothrombin. Prothrombin is one of the clotting agents. Again, if you want to do an interesting study, I'm not recommending you do it, it's a very detailed one, but you look at how the blood system prevents clotting when it's working normally and kicks into clot when there's damage. Yeah. It's incredible. Absolutely amazing, yeah? Anyway, God's built in that 8 days old, you've got the maximum clotting factor. Right? So he's protecting those little boys from any damage and infection and so like that, yeah? Right, so, how did Moses know that? How did Abraham know that? They didn't, but I know somebody who did.
Yeah.
Right, so let's move on next week, So here's the little dog. He looks worried, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. All his household. That's quite a challenge. Remember, Abraham went out to fight for Lot. He's got, what, best part of 200 men in his family group, in his wider family, as for household you'd call it. Right. He might have a riot on his hands. Yeah. Think about it. It says something about Abraham and his influence and leadership that they go along with it. Yeah. That's quite something, isn't it? They believed him because he believed God. Right. Next one, please. Anyway. Yes. Right. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. To cut off from his people can mean to execute them. Yeah? And if they weren't circumcised, they weren't saved as part of the covenant people. That was how God ordered it. In order to be part of the gang, the family, the covenant people, babies, adults, slaves, foreign slaves, all had to be included in that. That's quite comprehensive, isn't it? Quite amazing. And well, that's what Abraham was going to be leading, a community of people who were trusting God. Right, and it started with the babies. Right, now I've got something really important to share with you in the next one. Right, right, and this is really important. Circumcision was an external sign for an inner reality. Yes, and Moses makes that quite clear in Deuteronomy. He says this: the Lord God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. Yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting. He says, Abraham, you're circumcised physically on the outside, but it won't mean a thing unless there's something changed on the inside. Yeah? That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. Circumcision was a sign of Abraham's faith. He believed God. Yes? Now then, the New Testament calls that circumcision of the heart by another name. Calls it regeneration, if you want the technical term. Means the new birth. God's done something in you, yes, to make you a different person. So Jesus says to good old Nicodemus, yeah, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. You've got to be changed if you want to be one of his family. That's what it's about, yes? So, circumcision has that parallel in the new birth in the New Testament. And of course Abraham was a believer, like David and others since him, yeah, of course. But in the New Testament it's spelled out that it's regeneration. You're made new on the inside. Then, next please, this is important. Circumcision is not equivalent to baptism. I'm sorry, I'm not going to fall out with my dear friends in the Anglican profession and so on, and the Peter Baptist family, but I'm a Baptist by conviction, yes? A Baptist in the sense that I believe in believers' baptism. Not adult baptism. I believe in that someone who's come to faith should be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Right? And that's the difference between circumcision and baptism. Circumcision was for the babies included. Yeah? They weren't believing. No idea. But they were included in the community. Yes? Are babies born to believers included in the community?
No.
Yes, they are in a sense. Yeah. But we don't baptize them.
Yeah.
We baptize believers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. And so Peter can say to Jews. These are Jews who had been circumcised. He says to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Peter's telling them, repent and be baptized. Not be baptized and repent. You got the order right? Yes? Jesus says the same in Mark at the end. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, have you noticed there's something missing in there?
Repent.
Well, the repent was including the faith side of it, yeah? Right. Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And then he doesn't say, and whoever doesn't believe and isn't baptized isn't saved. What is it that makes you saved or not? It's not baptism, it's not circumcision. That's the point, faith. Right? That's the emphasis. You get it? But Abraham has to obey. That's what it was about for Abraham. Baptism is about obedience. You do what God tells you to do. So, that's where it's at. Next then, please. So, God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you're no longer to call her Sarai, her name will be Sarah. She's looking quite young there, isn't she? Not bad for 90. Yeah. Right. But it's a new beginning. She's changed. God's changing her name. Why? Because he's making it clear that he's changing things, the situation. In fact, we would say now he's changing the nature of the person, right? Abraham is no longer Abraham, he's Abraham. And for Sarai means my princess. Sarai, my princess. Do you call your little girl my princess? Do you?
Big princess now.
Oh, big princess now, yes. Yeah. Yeah. But Sarai means my princess. It's a term of endearment. It's a term of possession in a sense. Yeah? But God says, she's no longer just yours, Abraham, my princess. She's going to be princess. Gone big time, yeah? Change it to Sarah.
Restorative word,
yeah. But she's now princess to multitudes. Mm-hmm. Not just my princess, but our princess, if you want to put it that way, right? Okay, so God's changed her name because something new is going to happen. Next one, please. I will bless her and will surely give you her son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. It's the same promises he gave to Abraham. Why? Because she's one with him. She's his wife. They're in it together. So God is blessing Abraham and his wife as a result as well. Okay, so there they are. Sarah is given that promise as well to be the father, or the mother, sorry, of nations, yeah, and kings and people. Next, please. Abraham fell face down. He laughed to himself and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear the child at the age of 90? Right, so what kind of laugh was it? Well, maybe it was. God calls the child Isaac from the name he laughs. You know, Isaac means he laughs. Mm-hmm. Yes. But I don't think it was entirely Abraham being in unbelief. Sometimes when somebody tells you something so stupendous, it's almost unbelievable. You believe it, but it's just too much to take in. And you laugh, yeah? It's a sort of way of coping, isn't it, yeah? I think that's what's going on, because Paul in Romans talks about this experience that Abraham had at that time, and he says this, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Amen to that!
Yeah, God told you that to believe.
Yes, God's told you, you'd better believe it. But the interesting thing is, I suspect it says, Abraham thought, he was a dead man now as well. Remember, he had a child when he was 87. No, would it be? What's 13 off 100? 87. Wasn't that amazing maths, eh? Right? When he was 87, he had a child. He's had 13 years of no more reproduction. At 100 years old, you think, I've had it now. I'm a donor. That's how it is. Yeah? And Sarah, she's not had any children at all, ever. So she's out of the betting as well in that sense. But Abraham believes God. He's fully persuaded that God can do what God has promised. I hope you're getting what Abraham's like, because he wants you to be like him. God is able to do for you, in you, with you, what he's promised. Right? You might think, nah, it's a laugh, but it's not laughing. Next one, please. And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. I don't think Abraham is sort of saying, no, it's not going to happen, Lord. Just choose Ishmael. You know, it'll be all right that way, won't it? We've had the Ishmael idea before, and I think he's got the message now that Ishmael is not going to be the part of it. But I suspect he's afraid for his lad, Ishmael. He's afraid if this new baby turns up, Ishmael's going to have his nose put out and forgotten. Yeah? And maybe that's a dad's concern for his little fella, yeah? And so he says, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. The thing I want to bring out in this, I know he's concerned for Ishmael, but Abraham's learning about God, and we're all learning about God. And what's one of the things that you learn about God is this: when God blesses somebody else, he's not going to be robbing you to do it. Yeah? He's got plenty in store for you while he's pouring buckets full on somebody else. Just get that, please. God's treasury is big. Right? So, God's blessings do not rob others. Abraham, you'll find out. Yes. Next, please. Then God said, yes, but. I like yes, but there, yeah. Yes, but. Your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. Isaac means he laughs, because he's just been laughing. Right? It'll be a laugh. Good. Right. And the promised line, what God is saying is, yes, I'm going to bless Ishmael, but the line, the promised line is through Sarah's son Isaac. And he's already been told what the name is.
Yeah.
Yeah? And they've not even got started on having a child yet, but God's told them he's going to be a boy, and he's going to call him Isaac.
But God, they've done that to Jesus, didn't
he? Yes, yeah, before he's born. He called him Jesus. Yeah. He'll save his people. Yeah. Right, so, there we are. God. Do you know what that tells you about God?
Yeah.
He knows everything. Yeah. And he's in control.
Yeah.
She's going to have a boy. Right? No doubt about it. And they're going to have to call him Isaac. Right, the next week. Yes, but. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. That's going to be the line, the promised line, the spiritual line. And I've got a picture of there of Jesus at the well in Samaria with a woman. Remember?
Yeah.
And Jesus gets talking to her, and she says, well, you Jews do this, and we Samaritans do this, the other, you know. And Jesus says this really very interesting statement. Jesus said, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Now, that's God's choice. And people don't like it. God's chosen that through the Jews, salvation will come to the world. Yes? Jesus was a Jew. Yeah. God made a choice. And God is good at making choices, and they're good choices. But us weak, stupid human beings are always arguing with him. Right? But this Samaritan woman, she didn't quibble. She knew she'd met someone special. Right? And she believed. And what God is saying to Abraham, I'll bless them people, I'll bless the others, but I'm telling you, salvation, blessing, eternal life comes only one way. God's made a choice. And again, this upsets people. Remember when Peter stood up in front of the Sanhedrin, that mob that were wanting to kill him. He says, I want to tell you this. He says, you crucified Jesus of Nazareth, but God raised him from the dead. And I want you to know, there is no other name given amongst men by which we must be saved. That's exclusive. But the good news is, the exclusive Jesus can include anybody who wants to come. Yeah. Good, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, don't quibble with God's choices. He knows what he's doing. So, the spiritual line is going to be through Isaac. And that's how it is. I don't know if you know this, but the Quran teaches that it's through Ishmael.
Yes.
Mess that one up, do we? Right? It's Isaac. It's Isaac through it. Yes, you better believe it. Next one, please. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. And he did. Ishmael's the head of the Arab nations. I don't know if you know that, but he is. He's the ancestor of the Arab nations. And basically what the Lord is saying to Abraham is, because of my love for you, Abraham, I've chosen you, Abraham, because of my love for you, whatever you touch, I'll bless. So it works.
Right.
Yes. All of yours get blessed. Of course, they're earthly blessings. 12 rulers and all of these things and all these things. The earthly blessings can come along, but the spiritual blessings are found in Isaac. That's the point, yes? Right then, okay, I'll bless him because of you. Next then, please. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. It's just a repeat of the same promise, isn't it? The spiritual promise. Yeah. Do you like little Isaac there? Yeah. A little R factor for you. Yes, right. Would be nice for a midwife, of course. But yes, yeah. Right. But the interesting, there's a bit more information. God tells Abraham, next year. That's going to be the time.
She could already be pregnant.
Sorry?
She could already be pregnant.
Oh, she won't be pregnant. No, she's not pregnant yet. No.
Not in a year.
Not in a year. It's 9 months, you know. Right. We've got a few more months to go yet. Right. Right. Okay. But, yeah. No more waiting. Abraham, you've been waiting a long time for this promise. It's coming up fast now. Is that good, eh? Do you know, this is the interesting thing about the way God works. I just, a little thought, I never thought about speaking on this bit, but it's worth remembering. Yeah? God may make a promise that takes ages and ages for it to happen, and then in a moment, he can do it like that. God can do in 5 minutes what you might be waiting for 50 years. It's amazing. But God's good like that.
That's true. I wanted to go to Uganda for 10 years.
For 10 years. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Bob's your uncle. Well, I don't know if he is, but yeah, there you go. Right. Okay, next then, please. When he finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. So, it was an appearance of God to Abraham, wasn't it? What we call a theophany? These flashy words, but it just means God turned up and he saw him. That's what it was, yeah. And, but as God had gone, he knew God had spoken to him. That was important. God knows. Or Abraham knows God's spoken to him. And when he knows God's spoken to him, you can believe it. When God isn't visible, you can trust what he said anyway. Right? He's going to have to live with what God's promised him, even though he can't see him for a little while. And so, God had spoken to him. Next slide, please. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael, and all those born in his household, or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Yeah, Abraham did as God told him to. How about that? And the interesting thing is, I don't know if you noticed that first phrase, on that very day. On that very day. You'll find this with Abraham. He obeys immediately. Mm-hmm. We'll see that later on when he comes to his great trial. Yeah, immediately. You don't faff around. You don't give chance for doubts to creep in. You don't let it fiddle away. Immediately he does what God told him. Instant obedience was the proof of his real faith. He believed God. Okay, that's what you say, Lord, we're off. Yeah, immediately. And I'll just throw it in again. Notice the compliance of his household. They were willing to go along with Abraham. That's quite something. So God's at work. Good, eh? That was God at work in his household as well as in Abraham.
I think his household would have seen the blessings that came from Abraham.
They were in a good group, weren't they? Yeah. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that very day. And every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household, or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. So, everything belonging to Abraham's household was included.
Even the bar mitzvah boys.
Yeah, they become bar mitzvah boys, yes, some of them, yes. So, the amazing thing, obviously as it continues through generations, under the blessing that came through Isaac, you know, if you're included in Abraham's household, you're blessed. And that's what Paul makes in Romans. If we are of the faith of Abraham, we're in the household of Abraham. And the blessings, the taps on, the flow begins. It's through that, yeah? Everyone belonging to Abraham's household was included. Isn't God good, you know? Yeah? He's not setting up barriers. You know, when God makes a choice, he's not setting up barriers. There is no other name given amongst men by which we must be saved. God's showing you the door. He's not letting you bang into the wall everywhere. He says, that's the place to go if you want to get through. So God's being good to us. Next slide, please. It's the last one. Can you read that? No, right, well I'll read it to you then. It's from Ephesians. This is the essence of what I want to share with you this morning. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Right? God can do the impossible. That's the amazing thing. And the interesting thing is, I wonder what Abraham imagined. What could he think or imagine? God can beat you at anything. Whatever you think, he can get bigger. Whatever you plan, he can make bigger. Yeah? So God be able to do above all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work in us. Now let's take it back to Abraham and Sarah. Was God's power at work in Abraham and Sarah? It had to be. Yeah? For Abraham to become a father and for Sarah to become a mother, God's power had to be at work, yes? And it's the same for you. This is written to believers by Paul. You notice I put the amen right at the top of the mountain. Yes, is what amen means, yes? God is able to do it. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what your plans are. I don't know what God's plans for you are as individuals and whatever. Yeah? But if God said it, he'll do it. It might take a while. But when it comes, you better be waiting for it. Yes? So, he's able. That's a great verse. Now, I find that encouraging about praying. Yeah? When you pray, you think, well, Lord, if you answer me according to my prayers, I'm not going to get very much. Because my prayers aren't very full of faith, and I can't think very big. I just settle for little, you know. Please don't let this be your proverb in life. It used to be mine. Blessed is he who does not expect anything, for he will not be disappointed. Yeah? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't expect anything, and you'll never be disappointed, because you'll not get anything.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you're expecting. But that's not how God wants you to be.
Yeah.
He's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I'm so glad God's got a bigger mind than mine, and yours, just as well, eh? So let's thank him, let's pray, eh? Lord, thank you for what you made as a promise for Abraham. It came true, Lord. We know. We can read the end of the story. But Lord, for us, our stories are in the telling still. And there are things that you've planned in our lives, Lord, that we don't always understand and maybe seem just too big. We'll laugh at, Lord. But Lord, you're able to do what you've promised in our lives. Help us to trust you. And Lord, when he's waiting, give us patience. Help us to believe, Lord. Lord, even though things take a while. Lord, because you are God. And you know what you're doing. Everything's working out according to your plan. Thank you for what you've done for Abraham and Sarah, Lord, and down the generations. Thank you for their faith. And Lord, that we too can enter into the household because we've found faith through Jesus, your dear Son. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Help us to believe better, trust more, and see you work for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.